You don't run the race unless you cross the finish line. And we're not trying to keep ourselves saved. I hope that is clear. But I am saying I've got a race to run. And if I don't cross the finish line, I have not run the race. And I want to ask you, on the authority of chapter 12, verse 1, would you determine in your heart this morning, I'm going to run my race and I'm going to finish well. I care nothing about horse racing. Obviously, as an American, if we ever get somebody closing in on a triple crown, I'll give it about that much attention, and then that's the extent of it. So I have no idea what happened yesterday in Louisville, Kentucky. I couldn't care 2 cents. There's too much gambling. But if Satan's Revenge, or whatever goofy name they gave some horse yesterday, did not finish, he does not go down in history as running the Kentucky Derby. A few weeks ago was the Boston Marathon. Somebody finished 18 hours after it started. Others started and never finished. They do not get a participation trophy. Somebody help me. They don't get recognition for starting the Boston Marathon. Okay? Mr. Ed did not get a ribbon yesterday for starting the Kentucky Derby. You don't run the race unless you cross the finish line. And we're not trying to keep ourselves saved. I hope that is clear. Surely I've taught enough Bible, and Brother Joe did before he came, and then the other places you've been, you know enough Bible to know we're not talking about keeping ourselves saved. But I am saying I've got a race to run. And if I don't cross the finish line, I have not run the race. Now let me just say real quick, don't spend that much of your time and energy worrying too much, other than praying for them and love them. Don't let anybody who has gotten out of the race shake your faith. The Bible is very, very clear. There are tares among the wheat. If the Bible is clear about anything, there are tares among the wheat. And the disciples said, those tares are going to ruin us. Jesus said, those tares can't do a thing to you if your faith is in Jesus Christ. Here's what he said, Brother PJ. He said, leave them alone. He said, I'll sort them out at the judgment seat of Christ. Obviously, you can't overlook known public sin in a church body. There's plenty of Bible about that. But tares among the wheat, they've always been there, and you'll do more harm than good. You may go to somebody who's very sincere and they're struggling, and you think you're John the Baptist and Paul the Apostle, and you start trying to straighten them out, and you're not doing it in the spirit of meekness. You're going to make a mess. So be careful. Look at the word, please, in verse number 2, endured. Verse number 2, endured. Look in verse number 3. Consider him that endured. Look at verse number 7. If ye endure. Do this for me. Look at that word, endure. It's in there 3 times. This is simple. What are the first 3 letters? E-N-D. End. This is all you get. I hope it'll help you. If you're going to make it to the end, you're going to have to endure some things. You're going to have to endure some things. And you say, Brother Ainge, you like to give definitions. Give us a definition. The word endure means everything you and I think it means. Every article, everything you've read, every commercial you've seen, every documentary you've watched on how to get in shape, and they're sweating and they're groaning, everything you've watched about somebody preparing for 8 years to go to the Olympics, everything you've read and heard and understand about endurance is wrapped up in that one little word. And we are called as followers of Jesus Christ to endure. Look at verse number 1. Let us run with patience. I told you we'd get back to the word. The word patience means endurance. Over the last 400 years, it has been adapted and adjusted and modified to where we think of patience as granny sitting on the porch in a rocker, not getting all knotted up about things the way we do as younger people. I'm just going to be patient. No. I'm not correcting your Bible. I'm defining the word. The word patience means to endure. It means, Brother Morgan, to press in. It means to have blood, sweat, and tears. And I know Jesus paid it all. And I know that the Comforter has come. But let me tell you something. If you're going to cross the finish line, if you are going to finish the course that God has had for you, if He's entrusted a ministry into your care, if He's entrusted children into your care, there are going to be times of endurance. And let's look at the three uses of the word. Verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. First, the example of endurance. And friend, you have nowhere that you need to look other than Jesus Christ. I hear the silliest things on Sirius XM radio, and I listen to either news or sports. And they'll do a Joel Osteen advertisement for the Joel Osteen channel. I wish they'd give the Doug Raines channel. I wish they'd give the Connor channel or the Seth channel. We get more truth in a 5-minute devotion. Somebody help me. We get more truth in a 5-minute devotion at Progress Baptist than they do in an entire message. That's the truth. And I'm not on a soapbox. I listened to him for 12 minutes. And he did a whole message on you need to take another route home from work. He said, your life is in a rut. If you'll take a different route home from work, you'll see a park you didn't know your city had. And they were weeping. They were sitting there going, yes, my life's in a rut. I need to take a different route home from work. I've got into a rut. And I'm sitting there going, are you kidding me? Souls are dying and going to hell, and Jesus died on the cross, and I'm going to tell them they need to take a different route home from work and get out of a rut? Jesus endured the cross. And so on Sirius this week, it said, listen to this lineup of guests that He's going to have coming soon. Oprah Winfrey, who came out years ago and said all this stuff about Jesus was a farce. And here's what Oprah's testimony is going to be. What kind of God wants you to live in poverty and struggle for the rest of your life? That's not the God of the Bible. That's Oprah's message. Are y'all hearing me? That's what's out there in this world. And He's got 25,000 in His renovated auditorium this morning. We better anchor ourselves to the truth. We better know the Scriptures and search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Jesus lived a life of endurance. And He said, any man that'll follow Me better take up his cross. Nothing easy about a cross. And so I see Jesus and His endurance. Look at it. He was humiliated. He was tortured. He was stripped bare. And placed on that cross. He carried that cross. And 10 million times greater than that was my sins that He carried. And there He is on that cross. What got Jesus? We're looking at endurance by example. What got Him through? Look at verse number 2. For the joy that was set before Him. I am preaching to people this morning. My heart is in this body. And I'm preaching to people this morning, you're enduring, you're pressing, you're groaning, you're aching, far worse than a muscle ache, your heart is aching. And I want to tell you what's going to get you through is what got Jesus through, for the joy that was set before Him. Jesus did not enjoy the cross. He was a man. He was 100% man and he was 100% God. And he did not enjoy the cross. He endured the cross. And how did he do it? The joy that was set before him. Some of us, Brother Eric, are struggling day by day and we haven't set a goal out there before us and said, that is what I am striving for. You say, Brother Raines, what was the joy that was set before Jesus? I believe with all my heart, it was seeing somebody bow and call on his name. I believe it was seeing somebody in a little mill house in West Greenville fall on their knees and call on Jesus. I believe it was seeing a rebel police officer from Tampa, Florida, all the way in West Virginia for the holidays, fall on his knees and call on God. Every one of your testimonies, I believe that was the joy that was set before him. You say, Brother Raines, what is the joy that is set before us? I can't save anybody. I can't look down the road to somebody calling on my name. The joy that is set before me, Chris, is to passionately long for and desire to hear him say, well done. I know he loves me. But he's done everything he ever needed to do to show me that he loves me. But I want to make the Lord a good soldier. I want to say like Paul, I've run my course. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge. I know he loves me. I can't earn his love. I can't do anything, Brother Fred, to make him love me anymore. But I want him proud of me. According to Hebrews, I want him pleased with me. He loves me. But I want him so glad he saved me. Are y'all with me? Church, have you set a goal out there? Do you know what you're striving for? Are you aiming for something? If you're not aiming for anything, you'll hit it every time. Did you get that? If you're not aiming for something, you'll hit it. What? Nothing. Every time. Look at verse number 3. The example of endurance. Look in verse number 3. Consider him. What did he tell us to do in verse number 2? Don't miss this. What did he tell us to do in verse number 2? He said, look unto Jesus. Many in this auditorium have done that. But please look at verse number 3. You boys get this while you're young. Verse number 3. Consider him. It's not the same thing as what he said in verse 2. He would have said, look to Jesus, verse 2, verse 3, look to Jesus. He said, look to him. Some of us have looked to him and now it is time to consider him. And here's what it means to think over and to ponder. I'm glad you looked to him. I'm glad you looked to the cross and said, Jesus is my only hope. I'm a helpless, hopeless sinner. And all I have, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. I'm glad for that. But now would you take a step back and consider him and think over him and ponder him? Look at the rest of the verse. Who endured such contradiction of sinners. Can I be totally frank with you? You're going, I wish, you're preaching to us. I hope you will be. Preachers say, can I be honest? Please. Look at verse 3. Who endured such contradiction of sinners? Do you know that most of us, when we got saved, didn't know that that was coming? With me? We didn't know that was part of the deal. We thought everybody would cheer. Woo! Or at least, Miss Mary, leave us alone. I know people, I'm just like, leave me alone. But he said there'll be contradiction of sinners against Jesus. So if Jesus had contradiction of sinners, don't you reckon you and I are? You know what contradiction of sinners means? Strife and gainsaying. I'm just going to slow down for a minute and get real close to home. And I'm doing it to help us, not hurt us. Where does most of the contradiction of sinners come from? Family. Family. A man's foes will be those of his own household. Would y'all listen to me for a minute? You have no idea how hard that is for me to say. when I look in this section and this section and that section and the front third and the middle third and the back third. And I know who is enduring contradiction of sinners, strife and gainsaying. For what reason? Their faith in Christ. Not because they're a wife beater. Not because she's played the harlot. No. This woman, this man, this child, this parent is suffering because they have chosen to follow Christ. Y'all with me? And 7 years ago, I'd just rear back and say it and move on to the next point. Now we've all got to know each other, and I know your story and you know mine. And I know when I say a man's foes will be they of his own household, I know that 2/3 of my congregation just felt a barb. You didn't come here to get hurt. I didn't come here to hurt you. But I did come here to tell you that Jesus knows what it's like to endure contradiction of sinners. And I don't know about you, but I know every time I've been going through something and I realize that Jesus understood it and even better had been through it Himself, I relaxed. Because He's my guide. He's the one who's leading me, and He knows He's been through this. He's been through this trial, and He knows that it could derail me and destroy me, Brother Gazaway. And so He leads me around the pitfalls. He's endured contradiction of sinners. You're going, Brother Raines, you just said it was all family. Yeah, I believe it's John. If it's not, forgive me. It said, neither did his brethren believe in him. And you're going, well, at least they left him alone. No, they didn't leave him alone. You remember that service they were having and they interrupted the service? Y'all listened so well, I could preach 2 hours, but I'm not going to. I'm serious. Brother Eric, they came to the back door. They said, tell him we want to see him in the middle of church. What were they doing? They were trying to disrupt him. They were saying, are we more important than these your followers? Let's get right down where we live. You ever had family show up the minute they know it's time for you to drive out to go to church? That wasn't an accident. That was not an accident. They're trying you. That went over like a lead balloon, okay? Let's try it. I bragged on you and then you dried up on me. No. They came to the front door. They said, send Jesus out. We're having church. He's preaching to us. They said, we're family. So consider him, and I just want to tell you, I get it, it hurts. There's no hurt like that hurt, but Jesus has been there. Then look at verse number 7. If ye endure chastening. We saw endurance by example in verse 2. We saw endurance by investigation. You're not just looking at a great example. You're studying him. You're looking at him. You're dissecting his life. And you're going, he went through that. He went through what I'm going through right now. I believe I can trust him to guide me through this valley of the shadow of death. Verse number 7, if ye endure chastening. Now, if you were here Wednesday night, you're saying, Brother Ains, that's where we ended up Wednesday and we were in Habakkuk. You're going to have to ask God about that. Wednesday, I was not settled on where the Lord wanted me today. And since Wednesday till today, He said, I want you to finish in Hebrews. You left them hanging in Hebrews. And boy, I started studying and reading and meditating in Hebrews. And boy, we got right back to where we were on Wednesday, chastening. And I don't understand why, and I don't claim to know why, other than that I know God put it on my heart. And let me tell you something, the endurance of chastening. Here's what one writer said. A lost man will sin and love it. A saved man will sin, but will loathe it. Had new Christians in this auditorium tell me, I tried to do something I used to enjoy, and I was miserable. So the endurance of chastening, and all I'm saying is, chastening is comforting. Chastening gives me assurance that I am His. A lost man sins and eats it up like a hog in the mire. but a saved man who tries to go back into those that same lifestyle that he used to live. The Holy Ghost that we've sung about all morning long, the sweet Holy Ghost will tear you up on the inside and say you can't enjoy what you used to enjoy. That's why I started out a few minutes ago and said there's tares among the wheat, and I do not understand. A young man, we're less than 18 months apart. Brother Seth, we've sat on the pew together. We have driven in the cars together. We've slept in dorms together. We have gone to meetings all over the Southeast. And I do not understand how he puts pictures on social media with alcoholic beverages and says, having a great time. I do not understand how he put a picture up recently with a very immodest woman in the picture, and his caption was, I don't remember going here with you, but it must have been a good time. That is out of the pit of hell. And there is a God in heaven, and he's keeping a record. You don't mock God and get by with it. And at 55, Stephen, I've lived long enough to have sat on the pews, gone to meetings, gone to Bible college, rejoiced, got in the glory, we thought, and they mock it. Their whole life is a mockery of all of that. Let me tell you something. The Holy Ghost that lives inside of me will not let me do, think, or act that way. That does not mean I try to be the Holy Ghost and go tell him that. What do? I pray for him. Don't get offended at me. Somebody probably will, but it's the truth. To do any more than that would be casting pearls before swine. He probably knows more Scripture than I do. He certainly had the oratorical gift to stand in a pulpit and preach far better than you've ever heard me. I'm talking about a delivery. Are you with me? I want to close by going back. I rarely do this. I want to go back to point number two. The contradiction of sinners. I had this on my heart from the moment I started studying for this message. All of you children and young people, listen to me. Don't you be the one who creates the strife in your home. I am told often of 16, 17, 18, and 19-year-olds rising up against their parents and giving them a fit for the way they're trying to raise them. That's wicked. That is ungodly. That is out of the pit. And there is a God in heaven, and he said, honor thy father and mother, and you doing anything but when you raise up against them for trying to tell you the truth. And I don't know why God put that on my heart so heavy and why I went through it the first time and didn't remember it, but it came back to me to remind me. I want to remind you to do that. I want you young people to know you don't get away with that sort of thing. And let me tell you something. If they're trying, Courtney, if they're trying to live for Jesus, hold their hands up. Hold their hands up. Love them. Pray for them. Don't kick them. Don't scoff at them. Don't mock them. Don't mock them. You with me? Somebody needs that, or the Holy Ghost wouldn't have told me to say it. Boy, and independent Baptist kids are some of the most spoiled brats I've ever seen in my life. They've heard so much truth. They're gospel hardened. Don't do that. Don't do that. You will reap what you sowed. If you don't understand them, ask a question. I don't know a parent in here that you children couldn't sit down with them and say, I don't understand. Why do we do this? Why don't we do this? Why does preacher preach this? Let's go to God's Word. Let the Lord help you today. Are you willing to endure some things? Not to be saved, but because you are saved. Are you willing to endure some things? Question, are you born again? Do you know Jesus? We sing it often. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You can't endure anything if you don't know Him. That's why some return to the vomit of this world. There's nothing on the inside that gives them new life and generation.